Well, the reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. If anybody's got the church Bible page, that would be helpful. 705. 707. It's over 700. It's there. We're reading chapter 1 from verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. We thank the Lord for his word.
Well, good morning. Morning. You know, the Bible talks about that the church is the bride of Christ, and my, do you look beautiful today. I've never seen an ugly bride, as they say, you know. And you know, certainly the bride of Christ is beautiful, you know, beyond belief. It's quite amazing to hear that the church is made up of chairs. You know, that's made me chuckle. I am going to use that somewhere, although I may change the dates and the places that I heard it from. Yeah. I won't say that was here. excuse me. My title for my sermon today is Be Careful What You Ask For. Although the title's changed from how it was about 15 minutes ago, you know, but anyway, that's one of those things about sermon titles, you know, sometimes they can change quite quick. And we had that lovely reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and absolutely beautiful. I love it. I love the Gospels. I love Mark's Gospel in particular because it's punchy. It's straight there, you know, it's straight in your face. And it just never ceases to amaze me, I have to say, that some people think the Bible is really boring, that it's dusty and so on, but nothing's further from the truth. So I want to really encourage you to get into your scripture, you know, to enjoy God's word, because it's living and active. And every time you read it, faith comes into you as you read his word. And somebody once said to me, "Oh, the Bible, it's so dry, boring and dusty." And I said to this fellow, I said, "Well, you know, first of all, blow the dust off. It, you know, you shouldn't have a Bible with dust on," which is true. You know, you should never have a dusty Bible. And I just said that whenever I open the cover, whenever I open the book, never quite know what's going to happen next. You just don't. You know, if you open the Old Testament, what are you going to find? In the New Testament, what are you going to find? There is always something so exciting there. The only one thing that I have to say that could make the Bible better for me, and it's this. It would be to have a serious car chase in it, Jason Bourne style. Jason Bourne stuff. I love watching any movie with a car chase in. I just love it. In fact, I will go back and I'll watch it through. Not because I'm trying to drive like that. I have to be quite careful these days after my last episode. But I do love a good car chase. And I can just imagine sometimes a scripture, like when Paul was lowered from the basket in the wall, you know, to escape. I could imagine if it was done Jason Bourne style, he would be free-fall parachuting out and landing on top of a motorbike, vroom, 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 and off we'd go, followed by the Pharisees on, you know, on whatever they had, you know, super-powered camels or something. You know, sort of chasing them through the desert, you know, off there to get them like that. I mean, could you imagine that? But anyway, I'm just being a little bit humorous there. Anyway, so today, in today's word, we have got some absolutely incredible high drama going on in the congregation where life would never be the same again. And that's my prayer for here. Not just because I'm here, although you may want to forget me afterwards, who knows. But the difference was made was that Jesus was there. And Jesus moved in that place in great power. And my prayer for today is that you will be changed by Jesus today. And it's so amazing to hear about 85th anniversary and send those pictures. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, you may have noticed there's a little bit of Norfolk come through there. Absolutely beautiful. You know, because I grew up in Norfolk and I moved to Kent. Funnily enough, whenever I speak sometimes, people say, there's something of an accent in there. Is it Australia or New Zealand? And sometimes I say, yeah, roundabout that way, you know, somewhere foreign like that, you know. And then they say, oh, yeah, then I have to come clean and say, well, I come from Norfolk, actually, like that. Yeah, a little bit of a funny story there when I joined the army. Many, many years ago, as a young military policeman, I had such a broad Norfolk accent that nobody could understand me. Nobody. And so as myself, there's a fellow from Glasgow who nobody could understand. They sent us for elocution lessons. You know, we always come to it like a reel like this, and so, you know, I'm going around the area and like that. And I said, what did you say? What was it? You know, what language are you speaking? Like that. So, so we had to go through there. But 85 years is an amazing testimony to God's presence and God's glory. It really is. You know, we're just at 2 years. You know, we are a toddler. You know, we're just out of the womb, more or less. You know, we're just starting our journey. But I just feel so encouraged by what I see here with all of you dear folks, from the testimonies I've been hearing, for the vision. I just feel so excited for you. In fact, I almost feel jealous for what's going to happen in the next few years. You know, what can God do with you? Think about that. What can he do through you? How can you reach out into these streets and this area and this town? Think about that. Because he's going to do it. I feel absolutely convinced of that. So, let's have a little bit of background to Mark's gospel. This event was at the start of the ministry of Jesus, the public ministry of Jesus. And as I said at the start, being Mark, it's very punchy and to the point. There's not too much preamble. He goes straight into it. And I kind of love that. And so verses 1 to 18 basically cover his baptism, the calling of the first disciples. And I have to say that I always chuckle when I read about the disciples, because at that point, they were totally clueless about what was going to happen, weren't they? Yeah, they got called, I can imagine them thinking to themselves, great, we're being called by Jesus and the rest of it. And looking now, you know, through the lenses of history, we can think, aha, we know what's going to happen next. You know, you're going to do this, this is going to happen, you're going to face this. Oh, you're going to run away. No, but you're going to come back. And it's kind of great. But every time I read it, I thought to myself, you know, they just didn't realize. You know, they didn't have a Scooby-Doo what was going to happen. You know, they could not figure what was going to happen with Jesus. And you know, sometimes in our own lives, we can be like that. Even as Christians, we can think, what's going to happen? But God has always got something amazing for us if we just allow him to work in our lives. So today, in this passage, we see this one day, this snapshot, this selfie almost, of like a day in the life of Jesus. And just as we launch into this account, looking at this true life account, and I always call anything from Scripture a true life account. I very rarely use the word story, because that always thinks about like the three little pigs and Hansel and Gretel and the gingerbread men, whatever it is. Like that, you know, that's how some people think. And often people will use the word story when they're talking about the Bibles. You know, if they don't believe Scriptures, they say, oh, it's just a story. It's just something that's made up. But I always use the word, it's a true life account. Especially with the resurrection, because forensically, and I love forensics, You know, forensically, there is as much evidence for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead as there is for just about anything else you can imagine. So it's not a story, it's true, it's provable. So, we're going to launch into this, we're going to look at what God's got to say to us through this. I want to say that the same miracles and healings that we read in God's word are available today to us all. It really is. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus is the same yesterday, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, how about that? It's the same Jesus who walked the earth, who gives us that power through the Holy Spirit now. We can expect to see God move. We can expect to see miracles. I can tell you some stories about them as we go through, about some real life things which have taken place. So, let me ask this question, because apparently I always challenge people, maybe because I'm quite challenging myself. But I want to challenge you. Do you need some miracle in your life? Do you need something to change which just isn't changing? Do you need something which is like you think, oh man, you know? It's like you try a door and you can't get through. You know, it's just blocked. Do you need that? Because we can pray for that today and we can see God work. Do you need, perhaps, the transforming power of salvation in your life? Because, you know, that is the greatest miracle of all. That is the most amazing thing when a person is born again, when they pass over from death into the glorious light and life of Jesus. That is the greatest miracle. You know, one of the things that I'd love to see one day is somebody raised from the dead. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. You know, because I mentioned the scripture. But however, when you see somebody who comes to Christ, that's exactly the same. Because that person has moved from death to life. And I find that absolutely exciting. So, I'm just going to read some of the scripture again, you know, just to whet our appetite again, because that was beautifully read. Thank you very much. Listen to this. Well, verse 21. Then they came to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this?" "It's a new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Wow, isn't that powerful? I always think that when he spoke to him and say, "Come out of him," like that, I couldn't imagine speaking like Sergeant Wilson from Dad's Army, do you remember that? You know, I can't imagine him standing there with that demon, that man saying, "Excuse me, would you awfully mind just kind of, you know, perhaps if you'd just like to come, you know, kind of step this way a little bit, please? You know, you nasty demon, would you just, you know, perhaps, you know, if you don't mind, in your own time." I don't think it was like that. It was, "Get out now," like that. He had that authority to do it. And Jesus began to teach from the scrolls, and we see, and he amazed everyone. Because it says very clearly here that he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Wow. Now, the teachers of the law, they knew the scriptures and would faithfully teach. You know, often when you read about religious leaders in the scriptures, it's very easy to paint a very poor picture of them, thinking, oh, they're all like the Pharisees, always nasty. But they would have been good and bad, you know, same as everything. But they would have faithfully taught the word. But with Jesus, well, there was something more, wasn't there? Yeah, we read here. There was something more. There was way more. He had authority to speak. And when he did, it must have seemed like a breath of fresh air flowing through that synagogue. It must have seemed to the people hearing it that was something new, that was something powerful. But have you ever wondered why he had that authority? Apart from being Jesus, yeah. Well, John's Gospel chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." It also says in verse 14 that Jesus was the Word come in the flesh. So when Jesus opened the scrolls to preach, he was the author of those words. If you think about it, he was the author. If ever you write a poem, does anybody write here? I'll stick up my hand. Anybody write? Anybody ever written a poem? You must have written a poem. Yeah, you must have done. Yeah, there's a few hands going up. If I was to read your poem, I would read it, you know, like, you know, one day a lovely little bird landed on the branch or whatever it is. But if you were to read it, there would be something more passionate there, wouldn't there? You know, there'd be something in your voice, there'd be something, you know, there'd be like an authority, you know, when you're speaking that word, which would be absolutely brilliant. This is what Jesus had here. So he knew the words of the scroll, he knew the words of scripture intimately, inside out, the way that they had been constructed and intended for man. He was the word in the flesh. Isn't that beautiful? You have to think about that. That's why they had authority. In my day job, as a community warden for Kent County Council, because I work full-time as well as your pastor, I have highway powers. Yeah, you know, I have powers. I have superpowers. I have the power to stand in front of the vehicle, to raise my right hand, not my left hand, but my right hand, and to say stop. And vehicles have to stop. As long as I'm in uniform, they have to stop. Although there was one occasion I had to step smartly to one side where the fellow just didn't see me. He told me after, so I never saw you. I said, how can you miss me? I was dressed in high vis, you know, jacket, trousers, raised my hand, stand. He said, oh, I didn't see you. I said, all right, okay. But anyway, you know, so I have that authority. It's been given to me by the Chief Constable of Kent. I've got a piece of paper which says, well, I can stop traffic. But also as well, I can also delegate somebody else to help me. So for example, there's been a few times, isn't there, Jane, when we've been driving into work, because we both work in Canterbury, and we go along the A2, and I think in about a month we had about three quite serious crashes that we had to stop at, you know, stop at and help. And so on one occasion I had to press gang a whole load of people to say, right, stop traffic there, clear that up, you know, administer first aid here, have you called fire and rescue, that kind of stuff like that. So I have the authority to do that. So just as Jesus taught with authority in the scriptures, he also authorizes us to preach and to teach and to encourage others with his words as well. And that's a challenge to anybody who preaches. It's a challenge to all of us as Christians, because he says that we can do the same things. You know, Jesus says, you know, you will do even greater things than me, which is just amazing. So he actually, he gives you authority, every single one of you, to be able to talk about him, to pray for the sick, to cast out demons if you come across him, to whatever. He gives you that authority because he has the authority in the first place. Same as the chief constable has the authority to give it to me, and so on. So let's just imagine this scene, right? I always love to encourage people to step into the pages of scripture. If you read a good fiction book, it will take you on the journey, won't it? You know? If you read something there, it's like you open the pages and all of a sudden you're there. You know, you're in Spain or you're in Russia, you know, and you're with a team of MI6 agents, you know, sneaking around the Kremlin, then all of a sudden you're kind of there. You know, you can always feel stuff around there. So it is with the Gospels, you know. We can step into the scriptures and kind of smell and feel and hear, you know, if you use your imagination just a little bit, which is what I always do. Because I'm very curious about what took place. In fact, I'm curious about what the cat was curious about. You know, why was the cat killed? You know, what was it? You know, what was the cat curious about? Who knows? But so we're just going to step in this. So we have an ordinary service. We had there's a guest speaker, Jesus. It wasn't his normal place, but he was there that day. And when suddenly this man screams out loud, doesn't he? It says here that he just shrieked, shook, and shouted, and fell on the floor and everything. Really disrupted the service. I mean, how rude. Yeah, you know. All of that sermon preparation, the worship team had done stuff, they had the teas and coffees ready, had all those bits and pieces, and there was this fella with this immense problem, you know, disrupting the service. I imagine people would have looked at the watch and say, oh, dear me, you know, we're running behind schedule here, you know. You know, could you come back next week? You know, we could deal with you next week or after service. You know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, sometimes which people could think about, you know. But God broke in. It would have been shocking at that day. It would have been absolutely shocking. As often their services were a little bit formal, you know, and so all of a sudden there was this thing taking place. And what I love about this is that in that moment, in this shocking moment in church life there, is that you see Jesus, the light of the world, confronting darkness in that place. This is what you see here. You see the light of the world confronting the darkness which has come into the world. A good example of that is if we turned all these lights off right now, we would go into shadow, wouldn't we? But as soon as we put them on, light's here. That's what happens when Jesus comes to places in difficult circumstances. Now, we know nothing about this poor man. We know nothing about him. We don't know his age. He was possibly local to Capernaum. I would take it as a given. Maybe he had relatives at church that morning. We don't know his age. We don't know his history. We don't know anything about him at all. But one thing that we know from sure, from God's word, is that he was trapped by the devil in this terrible condition. He was trapped. He was held hostage. You know, if you go back to the 1980s when you had the Iranian embassy siege, do you remember that? You know, when you had 2-2 SAS, a good bunch, you know, when they stormed the embassy to get those hostages out. Those people were held hostage in there. They could not get out. They were trapped against their will. And so the regiment went in there. They stormed the building. They brought them out. That's a good picture of the gospel in many ways, because people are trapped. People can't free themselves. People cannot change their lives. That's why Jesus has to have the ultimate hostage rescue. You know, when he breaks in into these different situations, and this is what he did here. He broke in to that man's world. We don't know how long this man had been trapped this way, or the horrors he faced of a life locked up like this, a life on the surface which was ruined. It was ruined for him. He probably had no job. He probably couldn't be in a relationship if this was happening like this. We don't know. Perhaps ruined. That's one of the things which the devil does to people. Through addictions, through relationship failures, he ruins people's lives. But thank the Lord that Jesus said, I have come life, that you might have life, and life in all of its fullness when we turn to him. How about that? And I know there's people here, probably every one of you, have got a testimony about how the Lord's changed your life and about how goodness has flooded in. Don't we want to share this with other people? We should do. We should do, and you must do, because God has charged each one of you, you know, with sharing other good news of people. Let me just ask this question, another challenge. How many lives do you know that are ruined in this community, all around here, within your family circles, within work, with other bits and pieces? How many people do you know are suffering from alcohol addiction? I used to, part of my testimony is it nearly killed me a number of times of that. I just steer clear of it now. How about drugs? How about relationship problems? How about fear? How about depression? How about pornography addiction? All of these different things, that's life locked away. You know, people are trapped in that. Trapped, you know, they can't get out by themselves. You know, many people, they will tell you that if they've got these addictions, they want to change. They really do, they want to change. You know, they hate being like that. But they just can't, you know, it's a bit like, you know, if I want to reach the edge of there, if there's a £50 note there and I was trying to reach it, you just can't get that far. You just can't reach. That's where Jesus comes in. Bam! And he can do something in people's lives. We have to do that. You know, and that's why we must share. Can you get the theme of what I'm saying? We must share Jesus. And we must believe in the power of God to change lives. Wow, I just love it. So we have the hope of Jesus to tell them of the power of the risen Jesus who heals even today. Not the world's version of Jesus, who's this blonde-eyed, blue-haired fella. No, it's the wrong way around that. A blue-eyed, blonde-haired, Hollywood-type person. You know, who just wanders around with his sandals and robes and, you know, gleaming white teeth and, you know, with the smile and that sort of stuff. That isn't the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is a fella who got his hands dirty, who touched lepers, who risked everything, who knew that he was going to the cross. He knew that he was going to be crucified, and yet he still went. Wow, that's courage. I don't even like going to the dentist. It scares me. You know, and yet the thought of going to the cross when he was innocent, he did that for us. He did it for those people across the road at number 9A across the road. He did it for them. Maybe we should go and speak to them this afternoon. The hope of Jesus. With a word of command, Jesus sets him free in what seems to be a very loud and violent moment. With a word, with a command. You know, have you ever heard anyone give a command? Like, stop. And you're like that. Because sometimes there's real authority in the words. And that's what Jesus had here. A shocking scene, but one of great glory as well. And verse 27 says this. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this? a new teaching and with authority. Wow. I love to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and what we see here is amazing. You see, Jesus proclaimed the word, but then he demonstrated the word. You see, there's two words, right? And try and remember these today. I will test you later on. I will sneak up on you and say, what are those two words I said? It's proclamation and demonstration. The two go together. Proclaiming the word and demonstrating the word. Or you have the word and the spirit are going together. Simple as that. So how long had this man been oppressed? Did people see him as the tough case? How many tough cases do you know? You know, where you think to yourself, oh, I'm not sure if I should bring him to church. He's a bit rough, or she's a bit rough. I'm not sure whether I can pray for that person because, you know, it's a little bit difficult. You know, we'll pray for a cold. You know, but maybe they've got cancer. Yeah, let's just leave that. This was a tough case, but Jesus still did it. And verse 28 says this. It's beautiful. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. You see, people in this day and age are looking for something more than empty words. They want something of substance. Just think about politicians at the moment. I've got no politics. I've got none whatsoever. But you listen to when politicians speak. There's no substance, is there? It's promises, it's words, it's hot air. It's all these other bits and pieces. There's nothing much of substance there. People want to hear something of substance. And often that can be risky for us to step out and to be bold, to pray publicly for people, to say, do you know what? Jesus heals today. Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. People don't like that. But that's the substance of the gospel. And we have to be, if I can use an expression, we have to be a meaty people. We have to be full of Jesus. We have to be full of his grace. We have to be full of his word. Because people want to know that there's a bit of muscle, behind what we're saying. I remember many years ago, I got a little bit of trouble. And that was this little fella. I was a military policeman. There's three of us went into this bar. And this fella had been causing trouble. He wasn't very big. He wasn't very anything. And we went in there and we said, fella, you've got to leave. He said, no, I'm not going to leave. I said, you're going to leave. We said, no. And he said, if you touch me, I am going to knock all three of you out. And we were all quite big. This fella was quite slight. We didn't actually know that he was a member of Special Air Service. We didn't know that. You know, I was going to come. So one of the lads, Dick Stokes, he put his hand on this fella's shoulder. I woke up in hospital. We didn't know. He had substance behind his words, as we found out. You know, I think I've still got a ringing in my ears 30 plus years later on. You know, but people are looking for something of substance. We need to have that muscle behind what we're talking about. And often that can be risky, as I said. So here's a challenge for you. Let's suppose you have an instant like this one in church. How would you feel if the service was disrupted? How would you feel? It's a big question, because if you're going to pray that the Lord is going to move in this area, the Lord will bring all kinds of people in. We've found that at the Lighthouse Church. In the last few weeks, we've had all of these children and teenagers come in. Honestly, it's like herding cats. Have you ever tried that with cats? You know, with a dog, you can have some chance. Yeah, we've got a Springer Spaniel. Sometimes it listens to me, sometimes not. But with cats, come on. They just look at you and sniff at you, don't they? They're very arrogant. But you imagine a whole lot of cats, you know, they just won't listen to you. That's what it can be like. It can disrupt everything. So let's suppose that somebody is healed from cancer, from blindness, and the news spread to the town. Can you see the point of this? What would happen? What would happen? Just think about that. Just use your imagination for a second. And then next Sunday, that when Warwick opens up, there's a queue of people. Exactly. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's have some of that going on. You know, and there's people there actually queuing up. We have found it, haven't we, Jane? You know, with our children getting there at 9:30 instead of 10:30 coming, they said, oh, we don't want to be late. You know, we've had people coming in massively early because they want to be there. You know, they're captivated by Jesus in this place. Are you ready? You know, we often pray for the lost to come in, but are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to give up your seat? Are you ready to, clear up some mess from the floor? Are you ready for somebody who really doesn't smell particularly nice. You know, we had one fella who sat next to me once. Oh, he's breathing through my ears. Wow, I tell you. I asked him after. I said, do you work on the farm or anything? You know, he said, no. I said, oh, okay. I said, God bless you. I'll try to be graceful. You can fill in the blank. So verse 29. So the next event of this single day in the life of Jesus is a lunch appointment at Simon's house. And I kind of wonder what was on the menu for that day. I wonder what they have. And you see how curious I get. You know, I thought myself, you know, what would I happen to eat? You know, what was the menu? Was it a nice soup? Was it something cooked? Who knows? And I have to say that I always enjoy lunch after church service. You know, it's great. I always relax and have a great fellowship. But this was a lunchtime with a difference. When I got there was bad news waiting. The trouble-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. She wasn't very well. And you know what? Sometimes in the Christian walk, you can have a mountaintop experience where things go really well. You can have a great church service, a great word. You know, you could be really feeling great in Jesus. You could be really feeling great. And then you go home or you get in the car and all of a sudden something happens. Ooh, like that. But you know, sometimes that's where God works his greatest miracles, in that moment. Because it's the same Jesus who is with you on the mountaintop when great things are happening, and it's the same who's there when trouble suddenly comes in. So here was this poor lady, she was in bed with a fever. Let me ask this question again. What is your plan when you go somewhere with somebody sick? Do you just say that you'll pray for them to get better later on? That's fine, it's very valid. It's great, do it. Or are you going to be a little bit bold? Right? And I encourage you to be bold, that when you go to someone's house, a friend or a relative or something like that, and not well, just say, could we just pray for you? Because you never know what Jesus is going to do. You really don't. And imagine the effect it would have on that household if the Lord healed them. That's a challenge, isn't it? And recently at TLC, we prayed for us several folks, all unsaved, to be healed, and they have been. We had one lady, a sister-in-law of a lady who comes. She had all these lumps in her throat and her tongue and all an x-ray. She was due to go under the knife the next day. So this lady asked us to pray for her, so we did. Next day, they operated, didn't find anything. It was gone. And so this lady's considering Christ at this moment because of that. How about that? You know, we just simply prayed. Nothing special. No great flourish of hands and other bits and pieces. We just prayed, Lord, would you do something? Would you do something amazing? So this lady had a fever. And you've got to remember that a fever in ancient times could often be deadly. And we know that she was sick enough, not to be able to get up to attend to her guests. And there was always an honour in that day, you know. So for this lady to stay in bed, she was sick. It wasn't like man flu, fellas. You know, man flu. Oh, I thought I had it a while ago. That was, woe is me, I'm so ill. You know. Yeah, that's the look. Yeah, that's the look from Jane. It was, yeah, whatever. You know, you'll get over it. Oh, I think I'm dying now. Oh, please. You'll get up and do it yourself. Anyway, you know, so. But what's fantastic in verse 30, it said, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. Immediately, the disciples told Jesus about her. Another challenge for us. Will we tell people about Jesus and the fact that he can heal today, that he can change their lives? Will we invite people to hear the good news? Will we bring people to Jesus? Will we tell Jesus about people? Will we tell people? Can you get the picture? This is what they did here. You know, they told Jesus about her and he healed her. So he goes in the room accompanied by others and see her heals, and she gets up and begins to serve him wonderfully. It wasn't a long, drawn-out prayer. I can just imagine him saying, come on, I'll be young. And the healing power flowed through, and she was healed. I just love the way that this tender story is in there. So first we see the morning service, filled with the high drama of this demon being cast out. Everybody saw it, and crowds of people. We now see this dear lady trapped in sickness, healed just by herself. Jesus didn't need big crowds. You know, some of his best miracles were when he was alone. You know, when he touched people's lives. It's great for crowds. So, the sun goes down, we see, in verse 32. The sun goes down, and people are free from the Sabbath rules about healing and about carrying loads and carrying people and walking distances. So they all come. And the whole town heard about that morning. And also, I would guess, had heard about the mother-in-law being healed as well, because people would have known that she was very ill. And news spread. And good news does travel fast, actually. Do you realise that? You know, when something good happens, that travels really fast, especially when it comes to the Lord, because the Lord will kind of amplify what's going on. So I want to encourage you to really step out in God and say, Lord, would you do something special here? And bring people to Jesus. Let me challenge you. I mean, that's a theme this morning. How about next week that you invite somebody to come to church? Just one person. Pray about that one person. Invite them to come. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe they'll say no. Okay, if I say no, you know, you've got a 50-50 chance of them saying yes, haven't you? Either yes or no. Invite them. We've seen this number of youth start to come into Lighthouse. And last week, some of the youngsters, they brought four extra teenagers with them. They just invited them to come. They're not saved yet. You know, they don't know Jesus, but already they're inviting people to come to church. Isn't that exciting when that happens? So, you just think about this. The fact that the entire town flooded in to hear about Jesus, to hear is testament to the heart-rending situation that people's lives are in. Lost, hopeless, pain-filled, but all searching for hope. We're surrounded by it. You know, there's a scene from a program called Band of Brothers. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You know, there's a piece in there, absolutely amazing, and you've got Colonel Winters or Major Winters. They're about to be dropped into this behind the lines. And this general come in, he said, Major Winters, he said, you're going to be surrounded, you know, when you go in there by the Germans on every side. And all Winters said was, he said, sir, we're paratroopers. We are supposed to be surrounded. Think about it, you know. We're supposed to be surrounded, and we are, by the lost, by the hurting. So, I just want to encourage you, just as I finish, and it's just midday, so I'm going to finish now. Just let your God-shaped imagination loose for a second. Break all the bounds, right? Just break all the bounds and just think for a second. What this passage is showing us. Just walk through that in your mind. Go away and read it today. You'll look at it for the next few days. And just pray, Lord, would you do something like this here? You could have a notable miracle in the morning or the evening service. There could be something happen at people's homes, you know, where people are sick. Imagine that if that happens there. And just imagine the community surrounding us around here who hear about somebody who's healed or a life that's been changed, and then they start to come in because we see this in Scripture. Why don't we believe that? Let me ask that. Why don't we believe that God can do that? Well, my prayer is that God can do this here. And if he can do it in Scriptures, he can do it here. We're praying that for Lighthouse every week, don't we, Jane? Yeah, we pray, Lord, would you do something spectacular? You know, so that you get the glory, not us, you know. I'm a very poor preacher. I'm aware of that. I know that. You know, so every time I come to preach anywhere, I have to say, well, Lord, you know, you just take these words and you use them. But, you know, there's faith. You know, there's faith in this house. You are a faithful congregation. But let's up things. How about that? Would you fancy doing that? Do you fancy saying, let's really start praying? And I know you're praying anyway, but let's pray a bit more. Let's do the practical things as well, like invite people. Well, I'm going to finish there, and I'm just going to pray if that's all right. Is it all right if I pray? Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Brilliant. Well, God's good. And I'm just going to pray, first of all, that if anybody's not feeling well here today, I don't know, is anybody feeling a little bit sick today? Please just stick up your hand if you need a bit of a healing thing. Okay, so we're just going to pray that, and then we can see what the Lord does. Okay? Well, thank you, Lord. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and it is your word. Lord, it's living, it's active, it's powerful. Lord, it can change lives, Lord, in an instant. So, Lord Jesus, I would just pray now, Lord, for any person who is sick here at this time, Lord, that you would just bring healing in right now. Lord, if there's pain, we just command it in Jesus' name to be gone. If there's any depression, we command it in the name of Jesus to be gone. Lord, if there's any addictions, Lord, we just come against it in the name of Jesus, and we just rebuke it, and we command it to leave in the name of Jesus, because it's the name of Jesus which everyone has to obey. Lord, I just pray against depression, I pray against the fears, I pray against anxiety, all of these different things, Lord Jesus, because they have no place here. So, Lord, would you just come and just work some miracles in this place? And Lord, we even pray for those people who aren't here today who are cast aside with sickness. Lord, we pray, even this afternoon, that we'll hear a good report that they've been healed. Lord, even as they're at home, Lord, we read the scripture about that centurion servant when he said, Lord, I don't deserve you to come. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. So, Lord, we pray that for sick people who cannot attend today. Lord, would you work a miracle? Lord, I pray, Lord, would you start to work miracles here? Lord, would we see people saved? Would we see people healed? Would we see people set free? Lord, would we see lives changed before all recognition? And Lord, I just pray for anybody here who doesn't know you yet. Lord, would you just convict them that they have to know you? Lord, would you just touch them even now and cause them, Lord, just to turn towards you because you are a faithful, loving God. And Lord, I just want to pray a real blessing upon this congregation. Lord, that you would just take everybody here, Lord. Would you grip, Lord, would you stir up? Lord, would you get people ready, Lord, to see a harvest come in? Lord, it's the harvest which you want us to reach out in, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, would you do what you do best? Because remember that miracles are the family business. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Well, that is what we've been praying, isn't it? That God would do that God, our miracle-working God, would make himself known in and through it.